cream dripping from her pussy down her thighs and to the table below as she watches me, tugging on the ropes as I tut. Should have been a good little bird. I might have let you come right now if you had. Fuck me, she demands. Laughing, I grab two candles and light them before leaning close to her face. When I want to, I will. But for now, I want to play. Holding up the candles, I let her watch as they melt. Ever felt hot wax dripping on you, little bird? Her eyes widen in understanding before darkening in hunger. Ah, you have. Do you like it? What about all over your body? Tipping the candle, the flame flickering, I hold it above her chest as I smirk at her. The wax slowly drips and lands on her collarbones, making her hiss before it turns into a moan. That's what I thought, little bird. I coo as I grab the other candle and, holding them both, tip them right over her chest. As it burns, I drizzle them down between her breasts to her stomach. Wax dripping onto her skin as she whimpers and tugs on the ropes. Little bird, how prettily you melt for me. I laugh as I hold a candle over each breast. She shakes her head, but I tip anyway, and it lands on her exposed breasts. She gasps loudly as I purposely direct some of it to land on her nipple. She lets out a yelp even as her hips lift. Letting the wax cool on her skin, I trace my hand down her body and cup her soaking pussy again. I knew you would love it, little bird, and look. Using my other hand, I flick off some of the hardened wax to the pink skin underneath. It marks you up so pretty. You bastard, she spits, even as she pushes into my hand, holding her cunt possessively. Little bird, watch your mouth, or I'll fill it and it won't be with my cock. She drops her head back to the table, her body shaking slightly as I trace my tongue up her belly and kiss the jewel there before pulling out my knife, letting her see. She stills. Even as she shivers in desire, her eyes blown wide, her lips open on a pant. I lower the blade and use the pointed edge to flick off the hardened wax, slowly and methodically, until her chest and stomach clear again. Except for the pink marks left behind that have me reaching into my jeans and squeezing my cock. Gonna keep making promises? She challenges, taunting me even as she lies bound and surrendering to whatever I want to do to her. Little bird, you knew what I would do when I caught you. Torturing you is my favourite hobby. You wanted this, I'd be a good girl and let me play. I laugh. She huffs, but doesn't protest as I drag the knife down her throat and stop above her heart. Would you fight me right now? I ask curiously, as I dig the tip in enough to break the skin. A drop of blood forms where my blade meets her flesh. Would you try to stop me? No, she replies instantly, arching up and pressing the blade deeper as she groans. I would let you. You would, wouldn't you? I whisper, as I lift my head and press my forehead to hers. You would let me kill you? I would. She nods, licking my lips. I would die with a smile on my face. My demons are crowding closer, wrapping around me in their madness, making my hand slip lower and dig the blade in deeper until she gasps in pain. Tears form in her eyes, but she still doesn't fight. No. She brings me back from the brink. But you don't want to kill me, Dee. You don't want my death. That would be too easy. You want my life, forever, to torture me and play with me for the rest of our days. Ending it now would be too quick. You don't deal in just pain, but pleasure too, and right now, baby, it's just pain, she admits. I blink and look at the blade in shock and toss it away. Little bird always trying to save me. Nah, not save you. Burn with you. she murmurs, before lifting her head and slamming her lips to mine as her chest bleeds between us. On her lips I taste her desperation and hunger, but also her love for me. Her damaged viper, her crazy bastard. The man she pulls from the flames of his own mind again and again without thought for the way it burns her. I want to show her how much that means. This started out as our game and turned into something real. Something life and death. Because I could easily kill her without meaning to, and she knows it. If she doesn't care, she wants me anyway, moaning into my mouth and nipping at my lips to try to urge me on. T, please, she begs, surrendering to me even further, not taking, just asking. How could I deny her anything? I have been hers since that first day, yet she never demands with me, never orders me. Just asks, pleads, begs. Licking her lips, I trail my mouth down her chin and neck to the wound, and circle around the blood dripping there right above her heart, knowing it will probably scar. Anything you ask for, anything, little bird, is yours. This world is yours. If you want it, I will make them bow at your feet, I murmur, as I trail lower and crawl down her body until I'm above her pussy. I'd make them bleed for you, make them scream, make them die for you, I vow, as I lick her pussy, groaning at the sweet taste of my girl. She's my fucking obsession, my weakness, and my strength, in the sweetest goddamn package. She groans, tilting her hips as much as she can to push her wet cunt to my face. Tracing over her lower lips, I part her further and dip two fingers inside her, watching her hole clench around them, her clit engorged and begging for my lips and teeth. Her piercing shines in the light, matching the one in my cock. She cries out as I twist my fingers and wrap my lips around her clit and suck, her hips bucking as she gushes around my digits, digging my teeth into her vulnerable flesh. I add pain to her pleasure until she screams, coming so quickly I almost come myself. So fucking perfect. That's what she is. Perfection. Licking up her release, I pull my fingers free and clean them with my tongue, unable to get enough of her sweetness. It's even better than her blood. I dip them back in for more, and she cries my name, twisting in her bindings. Diesel! Roaring above her, unable to help myself, I lean down and snap the rope on one of her legs. She quickly wraps it around my waist, trying to pull me to her as I hover over her body, holding myself up with a palm next to her head. Her back arches, rubbing her blood and tits across my chest until I can't take it anymore. Grabbing her hips, I line up and slam inside of her, making her scream for me again. Her hands twist in the bindings, gripping them as I fuck her hard and fast. Nothing is between us. This is us. This is the life, even with death wrapping around us. Her head tilts back and I drag my teeth down her neck as I slam into her harder and faster with each thrust, unable to hold back when it comes to my little bird. Pleasure rocks through me, almost bowing my spine at how fucking tight and wet she is. The feel of her wrapped around my cock like a vice, her softness pressing to my hardness, her blood marking me. Fuck! She urges me on. Yes. God, yes, baby, more. Fuck, make it hurt! She screams as I punish her with my thrusts. Reaching down, I press my thumb to the wound as I make sure I hit that spot inside her that has her screaming again in no time, coming around my cock so prettily. Her eyes are shut, her face is lax in pleasure, and her mouth is bruised and parted as she shakes and tries to breathe beneath me. But I'm not done yet. Snapping the binding on her other ankle, I pull free of her clinging, pulsing pussy and flip her quickly, dragging her ass into the air. Her arms stretch out above her, her face turned and pressed to the table as she struggles to breathe. Her back is dotted with small cuts and oozing blood. Her ass is red and so fucking beautiful, and I'm gonna fuck it! Pushing her legs closer to her body, I watch her part them willingly as I spread her ass cheeks. I lean down and run my tongue around her hole before sliding down to her pussy and back up again. She whimpers and pushes against my tongue. Oh, fuck. That's so goddamn wrong, she laughs. Don't fucking stop. I have no plans to, as I tongue her ass until she's pushing back again, my fingers digging into her plump cheeks. I keep her against my face until I can't take it anymore. Kneeling on the table behind her, I run my finger down her crack to her pussy and slip it inside, stroking her before pulling it free and circling it around her other hole. My dick is still dripping from her cunt, and I grasp it, pressing it to her ass. You liked my knife in your ass, but you're gonna love my cock more, little bird, and I might even leave you here tied up and bleeding, my cum dripping from it until the others come back. Fuck, 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 is all she says, pushing back and making me laugh. Seeing the thick head of my cock pressed to her ass has me nearly coming, so I take it slow, pushing in past the ring of muscles as she relaxes for me. Good girl, I coo, stroking her side as I pop past them and work myself in an inch before pulling back and pressing in again, getting farther with each thrust until finally I'm balls deep in her ass. Leaning over her back, I lick down her spine, the blood from her cuts filling my mouth, and I catch on a piece of glass still in her skin and cut my tongue. Groaning, I jerk her back harder, impaling her on my cock as she cries out. Blood drips from my mouth onto her pale skin, and I trace it back up and down her, leaving a blood trail as the pain of the cut has me twitching in her ass. But she's bored of me not moving. She pushes against me, forcing me deeper. Grunting, I sit back, her thick hips filling my hands as I drive into her ass before pulling out. I don't go slow now, no, I fuck her like that dirty little girl she is. She's fucking tight, so goddamn tight it's almost impossible to fuck her, and she's moaning loudly now, almost screaming. Like my piercing in your ass, little bird, I tease, my own voice low and gravelly as I hold back my own release, edging it, almost painfully so. God, I feel so full, she murmurs. Next time I'll get Kenzo to fuck your pussy at the same time, and then you will be very full, little bird, I snap, making her scream as I watch my cock going in and out of her ass, the sight undoing me. So fucking hot, I mutter. A tingling starts at the base of my spine and flows through me, pulling at me, demanding I let go. I can't hold it back. It's too strong. Her blood, pussy and ass dragging it from me. Oh, God, little bird, I'm so fucking close. I groan, unable to pull my eyes away from my cock, moving in and out of her ass faster and faster. She whimpers, her pussy pulsing again, and I know she's close. Leaning down, I bite her ass, digging my teeth in painfully, and she screams her release, her ass clenching on me until I can't pull out anymore, and the vice has me exploding. It seems to flow through me again and again, pulling everything from me, filling her repeatedly, spurting in her ass until I'm finally spent. Pulling my teeth free, I see the bleeding indentation there and smirk. I slowly slide from her ass, whispering soothing words as I flop down next to her and pant. I try to relearn how to breathe as my heart slams in my chest, so loud it's all I can hear, my legs weak. When I feel like I can stand, I stumble from the table and into the kitchen, cleansing my cock before taking some towels back, cleaning up little bird and tossing them in the bin. Climbing back on the table, I undo her hands and drag her into my arms. Blood and cum cover us. But fuck, I can't move again. even if I wanted to. I love you, little bird, I whisper against her lips. I'm so glad you punched me in the face that day. She laughs.
Me too. I love you too, you crazy bastard.
Kissing her softly, I pull away after a moment. I can't wait to hunt you for the rest of my life. She laughs at that and I join her, even though I'm serious. But seeing her face light up, her lips bruised from my kisses and body filled with my marks, I've never been happier. For a boy who lost everything, to a man who lived in fire and blood, little bird is my freedom. My second chance. My love.
66. Garrett.
Standing above Roxy as she sleeps, I can't help but stare. She's too beautiful. Her silver hair is thrown over Kenzo's pillow, one arm under it and one over it, her back bare and exposed from where she must have kicked the covers down during the night. I can't help myself. I drag them farther down until I can see her peachy ass and long, lean thighs, smirking at the healing teeth marks on her ass from D. I had almost kicked his ass when he got back that night and saw the marks on her, but she just laughed. The wound on her chest is still healing, though, and the doctor thinks it might scar, much to D's amusement. Tracing my hand down her side and over her ass, I almost groan. How did I ever think she was anything like that cunt? She is fucking amazing. All soft skin and tattoos. But she has a mean streak in her, my little fighter, and when I get her all riled up, it's amazing. The doc has finally given me the go-ahead to return to fighting, but only part-time and on the condition I only do one a night. No more killing myself in the ring. Not that I need to now, with Roxy here. I just don't have the urge anymore. Oh, to fight I sure do, and to hurt others. That will always be with me. But I don't want to die. Instead, I want to take her with me, have her watch me. Last time when I'd won, she had looked at me with such lust, such dark, hungry eyes. But I'd been too lost in my own anger and self-hatred to act on it. Not any more. I'm going to take her on a date to a fight, and she will love it.
Just going to stare?
She asks, not even opening her eyes. I smirk, wondering how long she's been awake and knowing I've just been staring at her like a weirdo, but she doesn't care. She flips over, hair mussed and eyes blinking open, face bare from makeup. The sun streams in, the low afternoon light kissing her tanned skin and catching on the jewel in her belly. Our snake. She stretches leisurely, her body rolling and tightening with the movement, making my mouth dry and cock hard. But I have other plans than to bend her over and fuck her right now. Napping, I growl, crossing my arms. She peers up at me, that taunting smile curling those lips I'm obsessed with.
With Kenzo. He convinced me.
I snort, I bet he did. We can't keep our hands off her. Even during meetings, Ryder has kicked everyone out 4 times this week alone, and he has her screaming in no time. Slapping her thigh, I lean down and kiss her, loving that I can now. Get showered and dressed, and then meet me downstairs. She pouts as I pull away.
Where are we going?
Out, I snap.
It's a date, isn't it?
She laughs. No, it's fucking not. I snarl as I stomp off. But a smile curves my lips.
It is,
she calls loudly.
Knew you liked me.
I chuckle and head downstairs, finding Diesel lying on the dining room table with a weird, vacant, dreamy look on his face. Dear, you okay? Then I notice his hand is in his pants. Dude, what the fuck will you eat there? He blinks and carries on wanking as he meets my eyes.
I'm remembering the other night.
He sighs.
It was so good.
This is so fucked up. Don't stare into my eyes, that's so weird. I snarl as I stride away, shaking my head and texting Ryder to buy a new dining table. No way can I eat there now. I hear him groan behind me.
I'm finished now if you want to talk, man.
He calls after me, laughing. Crazy bastard. I wait in the kitchen, purposely not staring at him. Roxy comes down about an hour later, washed and dressed. We've all started keeping some of her clothes in our rooms for that very reason. Well,
Diesel actually stole all of her clothes and put them in his room, so we had to take them back first. She's in some tiny black ripped shorts that cup her peachy ass and have me almost drooling. A loose ripped crop shirt with a snake nestled in the middle. And fishnets covering her long lean legs and ending at her favourite boots. Her hair is up in a messy bun, wisps of silvery strands escaping. Her lips are painted red and her eyes are lined dark. She looks like a fucking goddess. I rush to her before Diesel can and wrap my arm around her, steering her to the door as I hear him flip from the table.
Play with me, little bird.
You already played with yourself, I shoot back as she chuckles and grabs her leather jacket from the cupboard on the way out. When we are in the elevator, I slip my hand in her back pocket, squeezing her ass, and she presses to my side, knowing that's okay now as we watch the numbers drop.
So, where are we heading on this date?
It's not a date, I grumble, and she laughs.
Totally a date, but okay, keep it a surprise.
She hoofs as the door opens into the garage. I lead her to my bike and hand her a helmet. She slips it over her head as I swing on and pat the seat behind me. She climbs on easily and wraps her arms tightly around my lower stomach, her head turned as I rev the engine and head out into the city. Her hands sneak lower and lower until they press against my hard cock. The fucking tease. So I speed up and take the corners faster as the sun finally sets and the night spills through the city, bringing all the sinners and criminals out. Like us. I find the old gym it's at tonight and park around the back in case we need to leave quickly. She swings off and waits as I do the same, and I store our helmets before I take her hand and lead her to the metal door at the back. I bang on it and Sheehan appears, grinning when he sees me.
Wondered if you'd die or some shit, lad. Come on, I got two men. One, you get him for one fight, so pick his opponent wisely. Probably the biggest bastard in here.
Roxy drawls, grinning at Sheehan, who laughs and nods.
Oh, we got just the fellow,
he tells her as he disappears back inside. Biggest dude, I snort. She laughs and turns around to look at me, my hand still in hers and stretching out between us.
Wouldn't be a fair fight otherwise, gotta give him a chance.
She winks, running her eyes down me.
You're still gonna kick his ass, big guy, but this way you can get your aggression out for longer. And if he's not enough,
she leans closer,
you can get it out inside of me.
Then she laughs and turns, walking into the gym. Groaning, I follow after her. The crowd is already parting for her, not just me. They all know who she is now. A viper. They both fear and respect her. Rumours easily spread of the bloodthirsty woman we love, and I notice more than one pale face staring at her. I smirk at that. It seems she's now as famous as we are. I lead her to the chains in the corner where two rich pricks are sitting. Move, I snarl. They turn to argue, but when they see us, they rush to their feet and scamper away. She throws herself into one, her legs outstretched on the other as I strip off my shirt and hand it to her. My gun and knives also, which she holds on her lap, her eyes running down my chest hungrily. Once that would have made me angry, but now it makes me hot and hard, which isn't good going into a fight. Leaning down, I kiss her in front of everyone, staking claim. Be good, baby. Shoot first and ask questions later. She laughs and pushes me away, smirking. I turn to the ring, which is an actual ring today. All traces of amusement and desire leave me with each step I take, and when I duck under the ropes and step onto the padded mats, I'm ready. Anger and hatred fill me, my fists clenching at my sides. Cracking my neck, I pace around my corner, waiting for the fight to start. They announce the other guy, but I don't even look until I hear the bell. Like always, the crowd and everyone fades as I turn to see the big bastard coming towards me. He's mean-looking, clearly Russian and used to fighting. But that won't help him. I hear my girl cheering for me as I lose myself in the fight and the swinging of fists, the ducking, the pain and blood. When I'm dragged away, I'm still fighting and they can't stop me, darkness covering my vision. But then she's there before me. Her hand is on my heaving, sweating chest, freezing me. I blink and stare down at her, ignoring the four men trying to control me. Yet this one woman stops me effortlessly. She grins, her eyes dark, hungry and impressed.
That was hot, big guy, but he's out. Want to fight?
Fight me, she purrs. I ignore the chanting crowd and toss her over my shoulder before leaping from the ring. I grab my stuff and stride through the throng until I find a door at the back marked Locker Rooms. Shoving it open, I kick it shut and lock it behind us. It's dull in here, only one light flickers, but it's still working. The lockers are covered in graffiti, and some hang brokenly. The wooden benches damaged. The showers at the back are filthy. I find the closest bare wall and slammer against it as I drop my gun and knives at our feet for easy access in case anyone gets stupid. She grins, wriggling.
Was that a yes, big guy?
I drag her arms up and hold her wrists in my hand above her head as I reach between us, flick open her shorts and drag them down. She steps out of them and I yank her legs around my waist, ripping a hole in the fishnets over her thong-covered pussy and pushing those aside. Then I slam inside her. We are both too wound up from the fight, and it's a quick, dirty fuck. She screams, her pussy clenching around me, wet as hell like I knew she would be. Dirty fucking girl, you get all wet watching me. She moans, her eyes unfocused, her hair messed up from my hands, and her lipstick smudged from her lips. It's no doubt all over my lips and chin too. Good. It looks like blood smeared across her, making me grunt. She's all clean and put together, and I'm a sweaty, bleeding mess. My knuckles are split and bruising from the fight, but it only makes her want me more.
Hell yes, you're like a machine. All that power, fuck, I kept imagining it aimed at me. You fucking me like that!
She cries out, squeezing my cock so hard I groan. Her legs wrap tighter around my waist until there is no space between us, her breathing coming out fast and faster as I pound into her, each move slamming her back into the wall.
Fuck, Gary, yes, God, yes!
She screams, her eyes closing as she tilts her hips to meet my thrusts. I'm so close already, all riled up from the fight and her, and she's the same. I can feel her tightening around me, her release impending until suddenly she screams. Her nails dig into my hands and she clamps around my cock. Groaning, I fight her tight muscles, but only two thrusts later I follow her spilling inside of her. Her eyes flicker open and meet mine as we just stare at each other in the dingy locker room. She grins suddenly and then starts to laugh, and I join in, pressing my sweaty forehead to her chest as I suck in breaths.
Well, that was a great date.
Not a date. I growled, even as I smile.
Sure, big guy. There was entertainment and it ended in sex. It was a date.
She laughs, making me groan as she clamps around my softening cock. Slipping free, I stuff myself back in my jeans and help her into her shorts before someone comes in and finds us.
It was just missing food.
You want food? I snort.
Hell yes, burgers. Sex always makes me hungry.
She grins, taking my hand after I have my shirt and weapons back on. Done. Come on then, baby. Let's feed you before you get annoyed and shoot someone.
67. Roxy.
Darling.
I perk up and look over from the contract and job applications for the new bars I'm in charge of to see Kenzo. He's dressed up in a purple silk shirt, his hair is swept back, his black jacket is unbuttoned, and his dice are rolling across his knuckles. His lips curl into a grin as he leans closer.
Want to go for a drive?
Always, I smile, leaping over the sofa and dropping a kiss on his lips. Let me grab some shoes. Any dress code? I peer down at the loose shirt I'm lounging around in.
One of those sexy as hell dresses.
He smirks. Yeah? Going somewhere nice, I laugh.
No, I just love those dresses and having easy access.
He winks, and I flip him the bird as I head down the hallway to my room. I quickly slip into a dark purple spaghetti strap satin dress and some heels before adding some lipstick and fluffing my hair. When I'm done, he's waiting in the living room on his phone, but when he sees me, he pockets it and whistles.
In fact, let's not go out.
He starts toward me with a hungry expression, making me laugh and push him away. Later, I promise. He crowds behind me, kissing my neck.
Later, you will have your legs around my head, and you'll be screaming my name,
he vows, before taking my hand and ignoring my breathy moan, leading me down in the elevator. When we get to the garage, I figure he's driving, so I head to his car, but he tugs me over to mine instead.
You're driving, darling.
He smirks and tosses me the keys. I squeal and slip inside. I haven't had a lot of time to drive the car they bought me, and I have to admit, I've been wanting to take it out and see how fast it can really go. I rev the engine as he gets in and he laughs. Head to Chinatown. I nod and pull from the garage, peeling away as soon as I can, laughing as the car purrs and bursts with speed. Holy fucking shit, I love this. When I glance over, I spot Kenzo watching me with a loving smile, so I wink and grab his hand and place it on my thigh as I change gears. He chuckles and strokes across my bare skin as I weave in and out of traffic. Usually, I would be worried about a speeding fine, but honestly, the guys never get one. I don't ask how, but I'm guessing that extends to me now. He points out shortcuts and directions when I need them until we pull up behind a bar. Slipping out of the car, I meet him around front, where he takes my hand and leads me to a door at the back. He opens it without knocking and guides me down some steps to another metal door. This time he has to knock, and a sliding slot opens and eyes peer out. When they see us, it quickly slams shut, and the door is ripped open, revealing a tall, skinny, beautiful Chinese woman. She bows to Kenzo and steps back, admitting us. The room is smoky and dark, with low-level lighting all around, giving it a cozy feel. It's one big room, and looks like how I imagined a casino would. Just a backdoor version. There are men in suits dotted around all the tables and at the bar. Women are here too, and I even spot one in a suit, which makes me grin. The servers move through the crowd with trays and dispense drinks. Music and laughter fill the room, and it makes my shoulders settle. I much prefer this over the rich bastard's house we went to. This feels like here we can be anything. We get a few looks, but everyone seems respectful and actually leaves us to it. Kenzo slips his hand down my back to my arse and leads me through the tables to a booth at the back, which is cordoned off by a golden rope. It's darker back here, and after we slide in, drinks instantly appear. He nods as he scans the crowd, grasping the tumbler and taking a sip as I lean into his side. Is this one of yours? I finally ask, and he turns to me, his arm going around the back of my shoulders, his legs crossing as he peers down at me where I'm lounging next to him.
It is. One of the very first, actually. I used to come here to gamble when we initially started buying up the city. I doubled our money every night, and eventually, I earned so much that the owner got suspicious and he pulled me aside. He taught me everything he knew once he realized who I was. I guess he always knew what we would become, and he wanted to retire. He gifted me this place.
He runs his eyes around it.
It's my favorite, the very first place I found my talent.
Gambling? I tease.
Strategy, he murmurs, looking back at me. It's all about strategy and reading people, darling, just like I read you that first day and every day since.
Laughing, I take a sip of my drink and look around again. I get it. It's like Roxas. This is where he's comfortable and happy, where he found his future. When I look back, though, he's staring at me.
You're the best bet I ever won, darling,
he murmurs, his fingers tracing my shoulder.
And this is now your empire, too.
Yeah? I grin, leaning in. What if I decided I didn't like the way some of your clients looked at me? Could I kill them? He snorts.
Darling, you could do whatever the fuck you wanted in this city and get away with it. Everyone knows who you are now, and no one, no fucking one, no cops, no judges, gangsters, or criminals would dare question you. You're our girl. It comes with privileges.
What of a kind? I query, trailing my hand down his chest to cover his cock and squeeze until he groans. His eyes flash dangerously. What if I yanked up my dress and decided to ride you right here and now? He licks his lips, those dark eyes tracing my own lips hungrily as he watches me like I'm the only one in the room.
And I would say, what are you waiting for? This city is yours and so am I.
I feel someone close to the table, but I don't turn my head and neither does Kenzo. No, we make them wait. I'm beginning to realize what this power offers me. If they want our attention, they will wait there silently for hours, not daring to disturb us until we are ready to speak to them. The power is heady. We are fucking untouchable. Leaning in, I lick Kenzo's lips. Why don't you prove it to me? You say you're mine, but that makes me yours, darling. I kiss him hard and fast, before pulling back and looking at the man waiting, his eyes dropped to the floor out of respect. What? I snap.
He swallows hard and shifts, but still doesn't raise his eyes.
So sorry to disturb you, sir and madam. We have a problem, and since you're here, I figured you would want to deal with it. What kind? I question, leaning back. Someone has been stealing all night, he answers quickly, making Kenzo snort.
Idiot.
He laughs. Yup. I grin, and watching the guy, I turn to Kenzo. We can't have that, can we? I purr.
Call the guys, let's have some fun, Kenzo orders, downing his drink. Tie him up in the kitchen and make him wait.
He instructs the man, who nods and rushes off to do just that. Laughing, I send out a group text and we wait, both of us teasing each other as we watch the room. The man returns to guard our booth and wait for further instructions as we flirt. The Vipers will never settle down. This is their world, and right now I'm all the way in. He's right. This is going to be fun. I'm going to see my guys in action again, and we all know how wet that gets me. Not 20 minutes later, they stroll into the club, and every eye turns to them, including mine. The power they hold, it flows from them. It's addictive. Even if it was my first time seeing them, I would see that authority surrounding them in the way they hold their heads up, their eyes flickering across the room and dismissing what they see until they land on me. All three sets hungry. All three mine. I'm a lucky fucking bitch. Ryder is in a suit and looks as perfect as always. Cold eyes and too perfect face and body, untouchable. Except for me, I can touch him all I want. Which sounds dirty, but I guess it's true. His lips kick up in a familiar, arrogant smirk as he moves through the crowd like a snake, all smooth, coiled tension and power. I see the flash of a gun at his hip, and it makes me lick my lips as my eyes flick to Diesel next to him. He has on his leather jacket and nothing underneath, showing his built chest and framing the burdened snake over his heart perfectly. There's a knife sticking up from his black jeans with rips down the front. He has a cigarette held between his lips, his blue eyes grinning as he watches me. His blonde hair is pulled back behind his head, making the sharp angles of his beautiful face stand out. I can't help but wink as I look to Garrett next. God, when I first saw this man, I thought he was a fucking giant. I'm right. He's huge, towering over everyone here. His body screams danger, killer. The tattoos covering every inch of his skin are like intricate works of art, and with him wearing all black and weapons, he looks like an assassin. His hair is pushed back, his piercings shining, and his stern gaze scanning the crowd for threats until they land on me. He smiles, making the rest of the room disappear. Yes, I'm a lucky fucking bitch. All three are guards, untouchable Vipers, and all mine. Kenzo licks my ear. Ready, darling. It's time to play. Slipping from the booth as the others reach me, I let them run their eyes across the dress. Diesel drops to his knees and kisses my hand dramatically.
Goddamn little bird, please tell me you called so we can fuck.
Laughing, I lean down and kiss him. Later, baby. Ryder kisses me softly before nodding at Kenzo. Garrett nods but hesitates, so I slip past Diesel and press into his chest, letting him decide. He lowers his head slowly, and I kiss him softly.
Hey, baby,
he murmurs. Hey, big guy, I whisper, before pulling away reluctantly. I grab my drink and toss it back. Someone is stealing from us. He's tied up in the back. I figured we could have some fun with him, I offer, and then turn back to the man who tied him up and is currently patiently waiting. Lead the way. He nods and hurries away, checking that we are following every few steps. All eyes are on us now, all scared, but they are safe for now. I keep my head held high as I stroll behind the man. Ryder's hand lands on my back as he leans in.
Like a true fucking Viper Queen, he murmurs, making me grin as the man opens a door and leads us through a hallway to swinging doors.
He pushes through and holds them for me, my heels clacking as the floor turns to tile. I step in and glance around. It looks like a rundown kitchen, with most of the appliances pulled out apart from the counters, and in the middle, under a swinging old light, is a man tied to a metal chair. He's struggling as we enter, with two men in black watching him from each wall. When they see us, they straighten. The man's eyes widen as we fill the room, and he tries to talk, but his lips are covered in duct tape. Leave, I demand, and the guards quickly and quietly do just that, leaving just us vipers. Strolling closer, I run my fingers up his tied arm and across his shoulder until I'm behind him. Then I lean down and whisper loudly, "Did you really think you could steal from us?" The guys watch me, their eyes hard and angry, all apart from Diesel, who looks like he can't decide between fucking me or killing this guy. Probably both if he had his way. Instead, he hops up on a counter and swings his legs, smoking as he watches me. "Did you think you could dupe the snakes?" I whisper and lick his ear, my eyes on my guy's as I do. I feel the man shiver, but it's from fear, not lust. "No one takes what is ours. You are going to wish you were dead before we're through." I straighten and trail my hand down his other shoulder, circling him as he struggles, his muffled voice coming from behind the tape. Dropping myself into his lap, I press my finger to his lips over the tape. "Shush. I didn't say you could talk," I snap, and lean in, balancing on his lap. But then there's a hand in my hair, yanking my head back as I grin. The man stops struggling, stilling, his face pale and his eyes wide and scared. "Do not fucking touch him, darling," comes a low, deadly voice next to my head as lips meet my cheek, "or I will have to kill him before we have our fun." Grinning, I wink at the man. Possessive. He swallows, so I quickly grab the duct tape and rip it free. When he screams, I punch him, snapping his head to the side. "I said not to talk," I snarl, before getting up and turning to Kenzo. I run my hand down to his cock and cup it, feeling him hard and heavy against my palm. "Then I will just have to direct from the side, Viper." His eyes darken, and then he grabs my hand in a mean grip and squeezes, making me pant as his lips quirk up. He grabs my hips suddenly, and holding me up effortlessly, he plops me down on the counter next to Diesel, pushing his way between my thighs. "Tell us what you want us to do to him, darling, and we will. Let's not get your pretty dress dirty." He kisses me and steps back as I feel my hand picked up, and when I turn my head, Diesel is licking at the blood on my knuckles, making me laugh. He winks and guides my hand to his hard cock as he leans in. "Watching you work is hot as hell, little bird. We are going to have to do this more often." "It's a date," I promise, as I turn back to see Garrett stripping from his shirt and cracking his knuckles. Ryder comes over and leans next to me, straightening the cufflinks on his suit as he watches the man. Kenzo is standing next to him, his body vibrating with anger. Diesel kisses my cheek and hops down, stripping from his leather jacket and laying it on my lap as he rolls his shoulders and starts to prowl towards the man.
"So, love, what do you want us to do to him?"
Ryder looks over at me, handing me his control. Viper's fucking girl.
68. Kenzo. "He touched my girl. It doesn't matter that she started it, he's dying here. But first he will pay for stealing from me, from us, right in my fucking house." He trembles from fear as he watches all three of us, but we don't touch him, waiting for Ryder or Roxy to give the orders.
"Boys,"
she calls, her husky, velvety voice heading straight to my already hard cock. Seeing her take charge like that, seeing just how deep she is in our family, our fucking queen, has me wanting to rip up that dress like she teased and sink into her quivering pussy. But that can wait for now. Business first. We all turn to her, and the man in the chair peers around us to her as well, knowing she is in charge of his fate. "Have some fun, won't you?" She grins, leaning into Ryder and propping her chin on his shoulder like he's her leaning post, and not the most terrifying man in the city. "I want him to bleed." Diesel blows her a kiss.
"That we can do, little bird."
I wink and turn back as Garrett steps up and smashes his fist into his face again and again, until the guy's eye is ballooning shut, his nose is broken, and his lips are bleeding. Then he steps back and lets Diesel have a go, all of us trying to impress Roxy. When I glance over my shoulder, she's watching us with hungry eyes. Ryder is still propping her up with his hand on her thigh, stroking circles as she parts her legs as I watch, making me groan and turn back. I knew the guys were busy tonight. Ryder was meeting with security for the new house. Diesel was finishing up the basement and Garrett was sorting out the new gyms he's buying. But as soon as she called, they came running. It almost makes me laugh as I watch the man cry. Please, please, he blubbers, looking round at Roxy. Oh, give it back, all the money. Is that right? She queries, and hops to her feet, striding over and pressing her back to Diesel's front, who starts kissing along her neck and shoulder as she talks. But a little birdie told me you already spent it. Is that true? He swallows and mumbles something, so I drive my fist into his face. When she speaks, you answer. He cries out but nods. I had to pay some people back, but if you give me time, I can... She snorts and waves it away. Blah, blah, you took our money. I think we'll take it out of your flesh instead. She looks at me. Kenzo, what do you think? I smile and nod. Seems equivalent. Tell me how much you stole again. I ask him and he cries out but answers, 40,000, he whispers. Seems fair. If you can survive 40 minutes of torture, you can walk free. I nod and she laughs. Beginning now. She purrs and steps back. Ryder wraps his arms around her and drags her against his chest as we circle him like vultures. Good luck. Garrett starts first. We keep him on the edge of unconsciousness, not letting him pass out. And when Garrett steps back, it's my turn. Rolling my dice over my fingers, I watch him. Call a number. He shakes his head, still crying, and I tut. Call a number. If it's right, you get your freedom. And if it's wrong, he whimpers, making me grin widely. Well, then. I would have to take my winnings, of course. I remark nicely, and he cries louder until Garrett smacks the back of his head. Guess. He screams the numbers as I throw the dice in the air and catch them in my closed hand. Staring at him, I open my palm to reveal the two dice. Oops, wrong, I announce, making him struggle in the chair again. I drive my fist into his stomach in rapid succession. Just because I don't always fight doesn't mean I don't know how, after all. He pants as I step back, his head falling forward as he tries to curl in on himself. Again, I demand. 14, he wheezes. I toss the dice and laugh again. Nope, wrong, and I thought you were good at bets. I tut as I grab his fingers on his left hand and quickly break three. Again. Please, please, God, no, please, he sobs. Again, I roar as I toss the dice. 9, he whispers. Wrong, I grin, grabbing my knife from my ankle. And I stab it into both knees before pulling it free, wiping it clean on his shirt and slipping it back in the holster. My turn, Diesel murmurs, and I grin, knowing he's been waiting patiently. But he's tired of waiting now. I pocket my dice and lean down to the man's face. Should have guessed right. D is going to make you wish you were dead, I promise, as I step back and he bleeds and cries. I hear Roxy before she's pressed against my back as we watch Diesel work. Ryder has this. Want to go for a drive? She purrs. And when I turn, she's grinning and stepping back farther, her eyes trailing over my body. I might even let you collect your winnings, darling. She turns, and with a wave at the others, disappears out of the swinging doors. Ryder claps me on the shoulder where I'm just staring after her. Better get her before I do, brother, he teases as he takes over for her. I nod and rush after her, hunting her through the club. She's waiting at the door for me, and I grab her hand and drag her outside as she laughs. She swings the keys in her other hand and goes to open the door, but I slam her into it and kiss her hard. She moans into my mouth, her leg hitching up against mine as our tongues tangle. Panting, I pull back. Better drive fast, darling, or I might just fuck you in your car. She groans at that, her eyes widening with need as I chuckle. Putting her away from the door, I open it for her, and she slips in as I shut it gently before rushing around to get in as she revs the engine. Taking my advice, she races away from the club. Both of us are feeling it, the need always sparking between us.
I might have been the first to have Roxy, but I will never be the last. I'm okay with that, as long as she keeps looking at me the way she is now. Her eyes flicker over to me, full of lust and need, her body trembling slightly for what she knows is to come. Faster, I demand, reaching out, tracing my palm up her thigh and pushing her dress up. She groans and yanks the wheel to the side. I barely look outside as we suddenly stop, realizing we're in a car park of some kind. She pulls to the back under some trees where the lights don't work. It's empty and quiet, out of the way. She clearly can't wait either. She turns her head, and as soon as our eyes meet, the need bursts. Reaching out, I clasp the back of her head and drag her close. Our lips clash in a flurry of teeth and tongues. Her hand traces down my chest, trying to rip open my shirt as I chuckle breathlessly and pull back, but there isn't much room in the car and she groans in frustration. I get out and round the car, opening her door as her head turns to me in confusion. Out, darling. She slips out and I push her against the side of the car, dragging my hand up her dress and cupping her pussy through the fabric as I kiss her again. She moans into my mouth, pushing into my hand as I slip past her thong and stroke her pussy. She's wet as hell, no doubt from watching us work, our dirty little girl. She bites my lip in punishment, making me laugh as I slip two fingers inside her. But she doesn't want my fingers. Cock, now, she demands. So I slip my fingers free and trace the wetness over her lips before licking it off. You aren't in charge anymore, darling. Get your beautiful ass up on that bonnet and spread your legs, I order, as I pull away and undo my belt before yanking down my zipper as she watches, her lips parted and body shaking slightly. Now, I snap. She huffs but pushes away from the car to the bonnet, trying to slide onto it. But she's small and it's slippery, so I grab her hips and help her up, pressing a hand to her chest and pushing her to lie back. Her grey hair spreads across the mat surface, her breasts almost tumbling from the dress as her chest heaves. Keeping her up with one hand, I snap off her thong and stuff it in my pocket as I strum along her pussy again. I've been imagining fucking you over your car since I bought it for you, I admit. Well, we wouldn't want to let those fantasies go to waste, would we? She murmurs, arching up as she traces a hand down her chest, cups her breasts through her dress and pushes her pussy into my hand again. What are you waiting for, a fucking bet? Here's one. Make me scream so everyone hears, and I will suck your cock every day this week. If you don't, you have to get my name tattooed on your ass. Groaning, I lean down and kiss her. Deal, darling. She drops her head back, her eyes on me as she pants. I drag my finger up her pussy and circle her clit before flicking it as she watches me. She groans, her eyes sliding closed as her hips tilt, rolling into my touch. I keep up the incessant touches until she's almost coming, and then I pull away, making her snarl. Thought you wanted my cock, darling, I tease, as I wrap my hand around myself and press against her pussy, dragging myself back and forth across her wet heat until she's crying out again, becoming putty in my hands. Oh, for fuck's sake, Kenzo, if you don't... I slam inside her and her threats cut off with a low moan as she writhes in my hands, her tight pussy clamping around me as the moon shines down on us. Thrumming her clit fast and hard, I pull out and slam back in, jostling her with the pounding. Her hands stretch out on either side of the car as she lifts her hips to meet my thrusts. It's fast as hell, a quick fuck, knowing we could be found at any time, making it all that much hotter. My heart thuds against my chest as I curve over her and grip her neck tightly, fucking her. She takes it all like a good girl, her thighs coming up and wrapping around my waist to keep me to her as her tight pussy constricts around me. She is so close already. God damn, Roxy, how are you this fucking perfect? Even when you're fighting me, you make it so easy to love you, to want you. I murmur, licking along her chin to her chest as I kiss over her heart. To need you. I only ever feel alive when I'm inside you. She cries out, her chest arching as she tightens around me, making me groan. I hold back my release as I fight her pussy, slamming inside her. Our panting and the slap of our bodies is loud in the quiet night. Kenzo!
she cries, her eyes opening and clashing with mine, right as I slip my hand between our bodies and flick her clit, needing to see her come. She screams loudly, her hands coming up to dig into my shoulders as she leverages herself against me, slamming down on me and grinding until I can't hold back any more. The release roars through me, pulled from every cell by her tight little pussy, and screams. It explodes out of me, spilling inside of her as I bury myself to the hilt, making her feel every fucking inch. When it's done, I drop my head as her legs tremble around my waist, but I stay locked there. We just hold each other, knowing we should move, but not wanting to pull away. Roxy wasn't given to us to make us better men. No, she was given to us to make us fight harder, to have something to love and come home to kill for, to die for. She gave us purpose again, a family. And one day we might get married and have kids, or maybe fucking not. I'm a jealous bastard, and sharing her attention with kids. Yeah, Diesel would probably flip too. Either way, we are together forever now. Nothing or no one could ever come between us. I love you, darling. I'll search your eyes, the stars shining above us, but none compare to the one in my arms. So much. I love you too, but I love your cock more. She laughs. 69. Ryder. So opening is in a month. We will set a date later. I've already reached out to local food and wine magazines, as well as a few large influencers online to help get exposure. Marketing is handling the social media aspect, and I have a manager in place. The building is complete, and they are decorating right now while the staff learn the ropes. I kept it as authentic to a dive bar as possible, but with the upscale aspects and amazing food, all in the style of bar food, burgers and wings. She trails off as I look over the notes. She's nervous as hell. I can hear it in her voice. Some of this might be her money, but she already mentioned she has no illusions that we didn't give her this opportunity to be more than she ever thought she could be, to grow her business and give back to this city and to the man who saved her, Rich. It's an apt name, and I've commissioned his photograph to be blown up and added over the bar. A surprise for her when it opens. Leaning back in my chair, I steeple my fingers as she shifts nervously in hers opposite my desk. It's not often that I see Roxy nervous. It's cute, but she shouldn't be. She has become a businesswoman so easily. She has a good eye for staff and great ideas, and with our help and the assistance of her people, she will go far. I have no doubt her collection of bars will take off. Their mix of rustic dive charm and upscale cocktails and food, and the dark black and moody ambience is perfect. I love it, I tell her, and she smiles suddenly, relaxing. I really do, love. It's amazing, and your numbers look good. Your online presence so far is astounding. It's going to be incredible. She sighs and gathers the papers back into her file. He would be so proud of you. She freezes, her eyes filling as she blinks and looks up at me. You think? She asks quietly. I nod and lean over the desk, taking her hand in mine. I have no doubt. You have become an amazing woman, Roxanne. So strong, so sure. And this will be no different. She smiles, a sad one. I hope so. One of the last times I saw him, he told me he was always hoping I would make something of myself, that I could go far if I tried, if I stopped letting my fear hold me back. He had a way of seeing through me. That's why he left me the bar, to help me along, a push. I just hope he can see me, finally listening. I squeeze her hand and tug her closer. She gets up and rounds the desk as I pull her into my arms. She cuddles into me, her head on my chest, as I stroke up her back. He would be so proud, and so am I. No one could ever stop you, Roxanne, not when you set your mind to it. This is only the beginning, love. She sighs and leans up, kissing me softly. God, sometimes you're too perfect to be true. A glint of mischief lights up her eyes as she reaches up and musses my hair, making me snort. There, that's better. You heard from Garrett? I inquire as I reach for my phone and scroll through the emails and messages. There are none from my brothers, so I drop it again and focus on the woman in my arms. She hums. He sent me a dick pic about an hour ago. A blink and she laughs. I asked him to. He's still out sorting the gyms he wants to buy and figuring out how to get the kids off the streets and in there so they can get jobs.
I nod. It's a good plan. Gives them an opportunity if they want to take it, and some training to protect themselves.
Yep, you are all giant softies, really.
She laughs, making me narrow my eyes on her, and she giggles.
I won't tell anyone. Your secret's safe.
We're not softies, I snap. She raises her eyebrow and leans up, straddling my lap and leaning back into the desk as she looks at me.
Really? Buying gyms and homeless shelters to help those who are suffering? What about the money you send every month to the charities in the city? Or the house you bought to turn into a safe haven for lost kids?
I'll narrow my eyes further, my ice melting as she grins at me.
Babe, admit it, you are all softies.
I'll give you soft. I'll snap, picking her up and dropping her on my desk. Her pupils blow at that as she laughs. I have something very fucking hard.
I bet, she teases. What's the matter, Rye? Big bad ride of the softie,
she purrs. Softie, I taunt as I rip off her knickers, toss them aside, yank open her thighs and drag her to the end of the desk as I lean back in my chair. I think you forget who I am, Roxanne.
Oh, Roxanne, I'm in trouble now,
she laughs. You are, love. Touch yourself, let me watch. But you do not get to come, understand me? I order, getting comfortable in my chair as she watches.
What?
She scoffs.
How about you just fucking touch me?
How about you do as you're told, or I will punish you and you will not enjoy it, I snap.
You sure about that?
She teases, but trails her hand up her thigh and pushes up her dress to show me her glistening pussy.
You know I like you mean.
She rubs her clit and traces back down and circles her hole.
Cruel,
she adds as she slips a finger inside herself.
Hateful.
Grunting, I watch entranced. Another finger, I demand, controlling her even now, knowing she loves it when I do. She does as she's told, a moan leaving her lips as she slowly pulls them out and pushes them back in, her other hand dragging up her thigh to rub at her clit desperately. Eyes on me, I bark. She flickers them up to mine as she fucks herself on her fingers, her hips rising to meet her touch as she rubs and fucks. Her breathing is speeding up, her cheeks flushing, the blush crawling down her chest, and I know she's close. Stop, I command. She carries on for a moment, and I narrow my eyes. Stop, now. She whimpers, but pulls her fingers free, and watching me, licks them clean. My cock jerks in my pants, pushing painfully against the zipper as I watch her. Fuck. Dress off, I order, unzipping my pants as she watches. She pulls it off and tosses it away, her breasts unbound and bouncing with the movement. The globe's begging for my mouth, but I resist for now. Lie down, pull your knees to your chest and hold them there. She does, wrapping her hands around her shins and holding herself open for me. I run my eyes down her dripping pussy, licking my lips as I stand and push down my trousers, circling my length as I step closer. You will stay like that or I'll stop, understood?
Yes, she moans. Please, Rye.
Stroking along her pussy, I dip a finger inside and twist, making her cry out before I extract it and press my cock there instead, letting her feel my hardness. She tries to push down to take me, but I pull back, and she stills again, panting on my desk. My very own viper at my mercy. When she behaves, I press my cock against her entrance again, and in one smooth move, bury myself inside her to the hilt, the tilt of her hips making her cry out as she clenches around me.
Always so fucking tight and wet.
Goddamn, love, you feel so good.
Look at that pretty pink pussy taking me like a good girl.
I watch her pussy swallow my cock as I thrust in and out of her. Her fingers turn white with how hard she's holding back from touching me, trying to be a good girl for once.
Ryder, fuck, she moans.
So goddamn beautiful. Every time I'm in here now, all I see is you bent over my desk. It makes it very hard to work. I growl, running my finger around her clit until she's gasping and moaning loudly. So goddamn hard. Like my cock whenever I even think of you.
Please,
she begs, and I tap her leg. Stay still, princess, I demand, as I drive into her again and again, rubbing her clit until she screams, coming around me. Only then do I let her drop her legs. I flip her over, bend her over my desk, and fuck her for real.
She gives as good as she gets, pushing back to meet my thrusts, her hair wrapped in my fist as I bite and lick her neck where her pulse hammers against her skin. "You fucking undo me," I mutter. Show me how much," she demands, her voice hoarse and body covered in a thin sheen of sweat as I lick her neck again and drive into her with wild abandon. That ice I once held onto so tightly is just a puddle of water with her, my walls down. We're just a man and a woman in love. Just two vipers locked together. "I love you," she pants, and I groan. "Say it again," I demand. I never tire of hearing it, especially from her lips. She only ever seems to say it when I break her down. "I love you, love you, love you," she chants as she meets my brutal thrusts. "Love you!" She screams as I slam into her once more and still melting. My balls emptying inside her as she comes as well. We collapse to the desk, me still inside her. When she starts to push back again, my softening cock begins to harden. God damn it, love. "Better get to work, Mr. Viper," she purrs, making me chuckle. Every goddamn day, I promise as I start to move again with shallow little thrusts that she rocks to meet. "I love you, Roxanne. My weakness. My love."
70. Roxy. I watch them interact as I sip my coffee. It's our morning routine now, and I love it. They know it, so they always make sure they are here every morning. Garrett laughs at something Diesel says, and Ryder shakes his head as Kenzo smirks. If I look closely, I can see the change in them since the first time I sat in this very chair. Hell, I can see the change in myself. All thanks to them. "We have something to show you, love," Ryder tells me, startling me from my thoughts. "Yeah?" I ask and down my coffee. "Something good?"
"Something amazing,"
Kenzo corrects, just as I'm about to ask if it's their cocks and smacks my thighs.
"Go get ready."
I dress quickly, feeling excited, and they blindfold me when we get in the car. "Kinky," I mutter, making them laugh. We drive for a while, and I try to remember the turns, but I get bored and distracted when someone starts stroking my thigh, the bastards. When we finally stop, I'm wound up and annoyed. The doors open, and then a hand grabs mine and pulls me from the car to what feels like gravel under my feet. They step behind me.
"Ready, baby?"
It's Garrett. "Yes, fucking show me, assholes," I snap, making them laugh again as the blindfold is removed. I stare in confusion at the house before me. Well, it's more like a fucking mansion. It's black. A fucking black mansion. I glance around at the trees shading it from view. There is a garage to the left, one that's massive. The double doors are open, and I frown harder. It's stunning. Absolutely stunning, and honestly, I've never seen a black house before. Whoever it belongs to is a fucking genius. What is this? I query, confused.
Our home. We are a family now, and we need more than an apartment. This is for us to start our future right. It's safe, and we have security, and no one knows where this is.
Ryder trails off nervously, so Kenzo steps up and carries on for him.
It's for you, darling, to show you we're in this forever. This is our home.
Our future,
Diesel adds, and then winks.
It even has a basement for us to play in.
A gym,
Garrett murmurs.
An office for us both, Ryder inserts.
Ours, I whisper, looking back at it before I squeal. Can I go in? They nod and laugh, and I rush through the doors like a child, just gawking. It's beautiful. The walls are a deep gray, and the floors are a dark white and black gold marble. The stairs are split in two and curved up. It's modern, like the apartment, but I can feel the difference, the warmth and rightness of being here. It looks huge, and I can't wait to explore. I never imagined a home for myself because it wasn't an option I had. But now that I'm here, I can't help but think it's perfect. It just needs the finishing touches, like lots of skulls everywhere. Not real ones, though I wouldn't put it past Diesel. Ryder grabs my hand and links our fingers, leading me through a door to the left and into a living room with a huge TV, 5 leather sofas, a low coffee table, and a rug. Dark mahogany bookcases line the back of the room. It screams money, but also looks cozy and very me. Us. Is this really ours? I whisper. He nods.
It's not all finished. We wanted you to pick out some furniture, but there are 10 bedrooms and 9 baths. A pool out back, a gym, a garage, 2 offices, a library, a game room, a basement, and so much more. It's home, love, however you want to make it that.
Home, I murmur, as arms wrap around me from behind.
Our home,
Kenzo whispers excitedly.
An opportunity to be nothing like our father. It will be filled with laughter and, hell, probably bloodshed, but I can't wait. Can you?
He offers wistfully. I swallow as I look around again. I can feel them all watching me for a reaction. This couldn't have been easy to do, but now that I'm here, they are right. It feels like home. I love the apartment, but it would be nice to have more space. I almost snort at that. Jesus, when did an apartment not become enough for me? To think I was once a girl living in a flat situated above a bar. It feels like a fairy tale. Only these boys aren't the heroes. They are the villains, even in the bedroom. It only makes me love them more. With them next to me, I turn and take in their eyes. You keep saying you don't want to be like your father. I look to Kenzo and Ryder. Your mother. I look to Diesel. Your anger and hate. I look at Garrett then. But the question isn't who you don't want to be, but who you do want to be. I think you finally decided, I whisper, tears in my eyes. And so have I. I want to be yours. When you find love, you hold on hard. It's a fragile little thing, and once it's gone, it leaves a hole in memories, we all know that. Ones you wish you could relive. But from every love, you learn something. Something important. From my mother, I learned to be strong. From my father, I learned to embrace pain. From Rich, I learned to love while it lasts, and that endings aren't always a bad thing. From my vipers, I learned love is unconditional and can come at the strangest of times and places. And from myself, I learned it's okay to love yourself, even the darkest parts of you, no matter the shape, size, or weirdness you came with. Embrace your scars and never be ashamed to be who you are, because there is only one of you. And if you don't love you, how can anyone else? I am imperfectly perfect. I am a lover and a fighter. I am strong and weak. I can be cruel and a killer, but also kind and a healer. I am all of those things. And loving my weaknesses means I can embrace my strengths and be just whom I want to be. With their arms around me and our new house over our heads, I have hope. Hope for a better future, and hope that, for the first time, the darkness might just be a good thing. I am theirs. They are mine. And it's time to start living our lives together. Epilogue. Roxy. 6 months later. Where are we going? I ask for the 8th time. I have been busy setting up the last bits in the 15th Riches bar. That's right, 15th. They were a hit, taking off so rapidly I didn't even know what to do. I guess now I'm also rich. Not that the guys care. They still spoil me like they are making up for a lifetime of neglect. I let them, of course. The last 6 months have been a whirlwind. We moved into our house a couple of months back, and it's not quite finished yet, but it's fucking close. I love it. Waking up every day there and having breakfast with my men. Ryder is still super busy with work and running the city. Garrett has 3 new gyms now and spends most of his days helping underprivileged and street kids get their opportunities and find ways out of their difficult lives. Diesel is Diesel. He spends his days inventing new torturing toys for me and anyone who crosses us. We will never go legit with me, after all. There's just so much fun and money to be had. Kenzo opened his 20th casino the other week, and there was a big grand opening where we were pictured shaking hands and kissing. Fuck, it even went international in advertising. If anyone ever knew what we truly were. I almost laugh, making Kenzo look over and wink at me. Which brings me to today. They kidnapped me from the bar and dragged me to the car. I swear to fucking God, you assholes, I will still kick your asses. Where are we going? I snap again as we pull up into an underground parking lot. They all seem excited. Diesel is nearly bouncing in his seat, and as soon as we stop, he's out and dragging me after him. The others laugh as we head up some stairs, and when it turns to marble floors, I frown. We head to an office at the back. It's late, so I'm surprised when we open the door to see an old gray-haired man in judge's clothes sitting behind this desk. He doesn't seem surprised to see us. Seriously, what the fuck is going on? I growl. You guys in trouble again? I snort. Nah, you are, little bird. Diesel murmurs in my ear as he spanks me, making me yelp and move away, right into Kenzo's arms, who kisses me.
You better tell her,
Ryder warns, and Garrett laughs. Tell me now, I order.
We are getting married,
Diesel cries out, and grins at me widely while I just blink at him. What the actual fuck? I yell, throwing my hands in the air. You're supposed to ask. A ring, I sputter.
This isn't legal,
the judge whines, and I throw him a glare. Stay the fuck out of this, I snap, even as I turn back to them. You heard him, it's not fucking legal, I snarl. They have been asking me for months, but I refuse to marry just one of them. It would create jealousy. It seems my men have decided to break the rules once more. All of them marrying me while I officially take their last name. Ryder rounds the desk and pulls the judge out, and I gawk as I realize he's tied to his chair. They kidnapped a fucking judge. Diesel presses a gun to his head, still grinning madly.
It's legal if we say it is,
he giggles.
Now marry us.
I can't help but laugh. They saw a problem and found a way to fix it. An illegal way, of course, but it makes me melt inside as I look between them. You crazy bastards. I hate you.
Hate you too, love. What do you say? Want to get married to be an official viper?
Bitch, please. We already know I am, I snort. Fuck it. Let's get married.
That's the spirit,
Diesel laughs, and Ryder steps forward and drops to his knee with a box in his hand. Garrett kneels next to him, a box in his hand as well, and with a wink at the judge, Diesel does the same. I blink and laugh as Kenzo drops down as well, all four on their knees, all holding boxes. Tell me there aren't four rings, I groan, even as I grin so wide my face hurts.
Of course.
Diesel grins and opens his to reveal a beautiful orange stone set in a band etched in flames. Kenzo opens his, and I laugh at the red stone with carved dice on the side of the ring.
Baby,
Garrett murmurs, drawing my gaze, and he opened the box to reveal the ring from Daphne.
This was always yours. I just gave it away by mistake.
Ryder clears his throat as tears fill my eyes, and he opens his box to reveal a traditional, cold-looking, huge diamond.
Roxanne Viper, will you be ours?
Forever, I laugh, as they jump to their feet and circle me. I still hate you, I mutter, making them all chuckle. We turn to the judge, and he sighs but seems to smile anyway.
Well, you are all clearly crazy, but fuck it, whatever. Do you?
The ceremony is quick, thanks to Dee, who tells him to hurry it up because he wants to put me in a white dress and cover it in our blood. Ryder kisses me first, sealing the deal before passing me to his brother, who dips me, making me laugh. Garrett grips my cheeks, no words needed, as he looks into my eyes and kisses me so softly, like I'm made of glass. Diesel? Diesel slashes his hand and then mine, making me gasp, and presses our bleeding palms together as he kisses me.
Forever, little bud.
I pull back and look between them all, having to smile. I've got the rest of my life to make them pay for it. I can't wait. And judging by the expressions on their faces, neither can they. I've learned a lot since I met them. Like that life is not guaranteed. It's made up of thousands of tiny moments that span a lifetime. Choices, actions, each and every one leads us down different paths. My path, my choice, led me to them. Four men who saw past my skin and armor, past my smart mouth and anger, to the woman underneath. the beautifully flawed survivor, because that is who I am. A survivor, a warrior, a queen, a viper. I am all of those and so much more. When my path took me down the darkest of roads, I found the strength to go on at the very blackest of times. When I knew my parents didn't love me, when they broke my heart, I went on. When I was alone for the first time, when fear was my constant, I chose to go on. Or when I held the hand of the first man I ever loved, the man who helped save me as he died, I chose to fight. As I watched regret and wishes fill his tear-soaked eyes, as his frail hand clutched mine, his voice raspy and skin gray, I chose to go on. But from that moment, I learned a lesson that lives with me always. Death comes for all of us, and until it does, we have to do our fucking best to live. To live our lives to the fullest, to never regret. To love so deeply it could fill an ocean. To not let fear stop you from being who you want to be. Because if you don't, if you let fear win, regret will eat you up, and it will be all you have at the end. I refuse to be that person. I refuse to regret my life or who I am. So I choose them every goddamn day that I wake up. Four flawed, scarred, powerful men. Even when it's hard, even when the world is against us, I choose them every time, over and over, and they choose me. My heart is theirs, and theirs are mine. We aren't perfect. We are criminals, gamblers, fighters, business people, and assassins. But these four criminals, they are my happiness. They are my life. They are my home. And wherever our path leads us now, we do it together. Just five vipers entwined in a den. Until the end. This is the end of Den of Vipers, a Podium audio production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more dark romances, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to Den of Vipers, produced by Troy Odie, written by K.A. Knight. Performed by Holly Jackson, a member of SAG-AFTRA, and Cornell Collins. Text copyright 2020 by K.A. Knight. Production copyright 2020 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.